In brightest day,
in darkest night.
Radio show. Chris Owen, Walter Duran.
Excelsior!
Crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and hear the lamentation of your women.
Welcome to Comic Culture, the radio show that champions the local comic book shop. We're broadcasting at 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio, and we're podcasting at comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com. I am Walter Duraglia, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I am Chris Owen, Professor of Comic History at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And as always, we are your gamma irradiated behemoths.
Hulk smashing through the world of comic books.
Yes, indeed.
Hulk smash.
Hulk is the cat's meow now.
He really is. He really is. You know what? As some friends of mine were saying, you know, I didn't really get the Hulk until now. And now that they've seen the Avengers movie, they get him. They love him. It's a great character. But we already knew that, though.
Yeah. The funny thing with the Hulk is, it's like the first two Hulk movies, they took the Hulk too seriously.
Yeah, for sure.
And in the Avengers, Hulk was almost used as kind of comic relief in many ways. There were some scary scenes with the Hulk, too, but they used the right mix.
Yeah.
And it worked perfectly. And for many, Hulk stole the show.
Absolutely. I completely agree. You know, we'll talk about the Avengers a little bit later on in the show, but I will also agree that the Hulk did steal the movie for sure.
Excellent.
For sure.
Yeah, all right.
Absolutely.
Let's start, Chris, like we do every week. We're going to start talking about
new this week.
These are new comics hitting your local comic book shop today.
Yes.
And so run in, check out, and we're just gonna sample three or four.
Yeah,
five,
I got four. I got four today.
Four?
Yeah.
All right. And new this week, are you gonna read the sponsor?
Well I thought you were going to, but I'll do
new
it
new this week is brought to you by Lieber and Ditko, attorneys at law. Have you been webbed up by a so-called friendly neighborhood Spider-Man and framed for a crime you did not commit? You can sue for big money. Contact us today.
Interesting. Very interesting. Lieber and Ditko.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, it's. I hear they're good. I hear they're good.
Very, very good.
Yeah, I hear they're
They'll
very good.
They'll get you out of a sticky situation.
I've heard that.
Right.
That's right.
All right.
Let's jump right into our comics here. And seeing as we started off with a Marvel sponsor there, let's go with a Marvel comic book. And for our new this week, I have The Incredible Hulk number 7.1. Now, the reason why I picked this
is... Why did you pick that?
Not only was it because it's a 0.1 comic.
Not only because it's a 7.1.
However, but you know what? There's a really good fight scene in this comic.
Oh, yeah.
I got to say, I don't want to give too much of it away, but it involves, you know... I'll just say it's on because it happens on the second page, so really
sure.
You're not
don't,
really
don't no no spoilers. We're
no
not going to do a spoiler alert. Don't spoil.
I don't want to say who it is,
but no, because anybody can guess if he's fighting the Hulk. Who do we want to see fighting the Hulk? Come on, don't say it.
It's not who you think it is, though.
Oh no,
no.
All right, it's not Brainiac.
If only. Now yeah.
that would be cool.
A fight. Right. But not only did I like it because of the fact that there's a big fight scene. But there's a character in here that I haven't seen, that I personally haven't seen since the 70s.
Right.
Now you're going to test your Marvel knowledge here for a second.
All
here,
right,
Walt.
Go ahead.
Ghost Rider, the original Ghost Rider comic.
Ghost Rider.
Do you remember any of his villains, any of his enemies?
Ghost Rider's enemies.
Yeah. I bet you can't. Remember one.
I can't. Evil Knievel.
I bet you can't remember one.
Evil Knievel?
Nah, close.
Right.
Close. He is an Evil Knievel looking character.
Right. The Taskmaster.
No, that's a good guess, though. Good guess.
Mephisto.
No.
Know, cause
no.
The devil. And
yeah,
the
yeah, that'd be good, too. Yeah, no, that'd be good.
I'm impressed, but not Strauss.
Okay. Well, as I said, I bet you can't get it. Mm-hmm. And this is, of course, the...
The eye, the orb.
The eye! Oh, he gets it. Nice. Right. Yes, the Orb makes an appearance in Hulk 7.1, and I haven't seen that character since I don't know how long, right? And it's funny you should say Evel Knievel, because he does have sort of an Evel Knievel-looking type of costume type thing on. And, yeah, it's awesome. It's a great-looking book, you know. It's a long time since I've seen him, and
Fight scenes, of course, are all the rage at Marvel. With AVX. See,
absolutely.
This is what's happening at the Marvel's thing, going, oh, man, this AVX is doing awesome. Let's have every superhero in a big fight.
But that's what people want to read comics for.
Yeah, I guess.
You know, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah,
you know, I remember there's lots of times where, I mean, granted, you know, I was a bit nerdier than most kids, I suppose, but there's a lot of times when me and my friends would sit around and again, argue as to who would win in a fight, you know, the Thing or the Hulk or whatever, and that's, now we get to see it.
Excellent. All right. So, Marvel, above and beyond their AVX lineup, they have also Incredible Hulk 7.1 coming out, and of course, probably about 94 other titles.
Yes,
check them out
of course.
At your local comic shop.
Of course. Next up, we have Supergirl number 9 from, of course, the DC New 52.
Number 9.
And this one has... do you remember there's the character... I believe her name is the...
Orb.
No, it's not the Orb. There is, of course, the character... I believe it is...
Mephisto.
No.
I said him already.
No.
I'm going back to the well, Chris.
I know. Well, first of all, this is a DC character.
Okay.
So it couldn't possibly be Mephisto or the Orb.
Right.
Right?
But it could be Brainiac.
Silver Banshee.
My next guest.
Yes.
Silver Banshee. Of course.
And of course, this one has not only Silver Banshee, but this also has the Black Banshee in it.
Mm-hmm.
So.
No. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to be truthful and honest.
Yep.
Which we should be on radio.
Absolutely, all the time.
I didn't think Supergirl would make 9 issues.
Hmm. Well, that's an excellent point. You know, I wasn't really too sure if Supergirl would make 9 issues either.
Yeah.
But there is a strong Supergirl following.
You know,
there really is. There really is. I mean, I remember back in the day when I was working at the Silver Snail.
I remember back in the
In the day. Remember there was a guy that used to dress up as Supergirl.
I try not to remember that.
Well, unfortunately...
Suppressed memories.
Yeah, well, you know, these things do happen.
I put that thing away
a long time ago.
I gave that to charity.
You know, I bet it would still fit you. But, you know, you really should go to a convention once in a while and see all the people that are dressed up as Supergirl, both
female and
male alike.
Fair enough.
Right?
Fair
so
enough.
There's a big Supergirl following, you know. It was a big Silver Age comic.
Okay,
right? And Bronze Age comic.
So Supergirl and Superboy
are
still going.
Yes, they are.
New launch.
Yes.
Who gets canned first?
Oh, I go with Superboy.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, okay.
That's my guess, anyways.
Right.
That's my guess.
Well, he had Smallville going on TV.
That's true.
But now he doesn't have Smallville going on TV anymore. So.
Yeah, whereas Supergirl, there's always people, I don't know, people like seeing...
Girls,
yeah.
Tight costumes.
Skirts and long legs.
Fair enough. All right. She does have that over Superboy.
She really does.
All right. So that's Supergirl number 9
from
DC, part of their big lineup today at your local comic book shop.
Yes. Next up we have from Dark Horse, BPRD, Hell on Earth, from the pages of Hellboy. The Devil's Engine. Now, for those of you who are fans of the Hellboy comic by Mike Mignola, know that, you know, Hellboy is part of the BPRD, which is the sort of like, you know, it's sort of like the paranormal investigator, detective agency kind of thing. Yeah. So there's a new comic out, and man, it looks really good. You know, I got to say, like, the art looks fantastic. It's got, you know, I think the plot is by Mike Mignola. And it just looks really good.
John Arcudi. There's two ways to say that.
Yeah.
The right way and the wrong way?
Yeah, my way or the wrong
right.
way.
Yeah.
John Arcudi does the writing. And he is, of course, one of the guys who also helped create the character The Mask. So he's been around for a long, long time, right?
Many years.
So he's a solid writer. And then you've got art by Tyler Crook and Dave Stewart. And then you've got a cover by Duncan Fegredo, which is an amazing cover. You know, I got to say, you know, everything about this book looks awesome. Now, Walt.
Yes.
I know you're now finally getting into the whole watching you know, movies that are based on comic book exciting. Characters. Yeah, yeah,
I really enjoy it.
I know. Now, here's my next question. Have you ever seen either of the Hellboy movies?
No. You see, that goes back a few years. That was before my quest for the Riddle of Steel.
The Riddle of Steel. Yeah. Oh, all right.
But I don't know if I'm going to double back, but if a new one comes out, I'll probably watch it.
All right, fair enough, yeah, all right.
Okay.
Well, that is BPRD, Hell on Earth, number 1 of 3, The Devil's Engine.
All right, so check that out, and other DC, no, Dark Horse.
Dark Horse.
Local shop.
All right, and finally for our kids' pick of the week, we've got Archie Comics, Archie's pal, Jughead. Now, here's the thing. I liked the cover on this one. That's why I chose it.
Right.
It's Archie's pal Jughead number 213. And you know, it's always awful when you try to describe a cover on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just funny because it has a typical Jughead thing. He's eating a giant sandwich in the theater.
Yeah.
And somebody's cell phone is going off. And, you know, the sandwich is so big that it's like people can't even see in front of it or behind it. And then all of a sudden someone's cell phone goes off. And he's like, hey, cell phones are so distracting.
Right.
It's just a nice little... Typical Jughead.
Typical evening at the theater. Now, here's a question for
you. Yeah, okay, all right.
Who can eat the bigger sandwich?
Oh.
Jughead or Shaggy?
Or Blondie.
No,
or Shaggy. You know, or Shaggy. I would say, not Blondie, but, you know, Dagwood.
Yeah.
I would say probably Jughead.
Yeah.
Probably Jughead.
Scoop can pack him in, though.
That's true, but it's yeah.
Now, here's the thing, too.
What's
that? Here's the thing I'm going to ask you. Now, Scoob and Shag.
Yeah.
It was always those undertones of them smoking some pot. Some
right,
weed,
the Scooby Snacks.
And they had the munchies like that. Was there ever that with Jughead?
No.
Why did he eat so much? Was he like partaking?
Well,
little Mother Nature?
Maybe, you never know. Yeah. You never know. And people have said that maybe he had a secret crush on Archie, though.
Hey-o.
Yeah, so, wow. You know, maybe.
You see, if that manifested itself, though, they introduced that. Openly gay.
That's
character.
Right. That's right. With
hey,
Kevin.
What?
Kevin Keller.
That can be a future development relationship.
There you go. That's right.
Cool.
Nice.
I think you and I just put into the Goldwater. Is it
Gold? Gold. I think it is Goldwater. Yeah.
Goldwater. People in. If you see that, by the way, people. In the next
know that you heard it
year,
here first.
You know that you heard it here first.
Yeah.
Excellent. Okay, Chris. So that's for the kids. Archie number 213. At your local comic shop today, and of course, Chris just touched on 4 of them, but there's probably 7,200 new comics coming in.
At least.
At least.
At
your local shop. Run in there. Check everything out, please.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we're going to continue on after we have a little bit of a musical interlude here. Of course, you know what? We haven't done this for a while, so we're going to go back to the well and go back to some of the old Spider-Man songs, of course, from the animated cartoons from the old Krantz animated series.
Lovely, Chris. Nicely done. One of my favorites.
Yeah, well, I figured, you know, we haven't done the old Spider-Man, you know, songs for a little while.
Stuff,
Krantz stuff, so.
Gold.
It is. It's gold, Jerry. Gold.
Listen, that brings us to Comic Culture Mailbag.
Yes. And Comic Culture Mailbag is brought to you by Death Stars. Are you in the market for a planet-destroying piece of weaponry? Then look no further than the Death Star. It's no moon. It's a space station.
That's no moon. That's the Death Star.
Exactly. All right.
All right, Chris. Comic Culture Mailbag. This week, you have one addressed to you.
Oh, nice. All right.
You said, hey, dear Chris.
Yep.
Please settle a bet. A bet.
A bet.
I say that She-Hulk would be a better date, but my friend says that Wonder Woman would be the best date. Your opinion will grant the winner $5 and eternal bragging rights. signed Steve and Carl from Skokie, Illinois.
Skokie, Illinois. I think we've had an email from some people from Skokie before.
Yeah. We've been up in Skokie.
I think we're popular in Skokie.
Yeah, no, we've been up in Skokie. I think we've done some PR.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Excellent. Well, you know what? Okay. First of all, I would say that if you're going on a date with either of these women, you're doing great, really, because
yeah.
you know
you're
what?
Deep,
you're doing
good.
Really well.
Yeah.
Now, having said that, you're a winner
either way.
Having said that, it depends on the your reason for going out on the date. Are you looking for just some eye candy? Because, you know, I have to say that, you know, Wonder Woman is, quite the eye candy when
right.
when she's, you know, all dolled up and everything, right?
Yeah, yeah.
However, you know, it depends, you know, if you're going to, like, some sort of goth club or something like that, bringing She-Hulk as a green date, you know, that'd be kind of cool because she's a little different, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Those goth people, like,
Halloween,
they like different.
Halloween
in the Halloween party
or
something like that.
I guess they would both be good for Halloween
absolutely,
though,
yeah. Now, it also, the thing is, you know... She-Hulk, who's also Jennifer Walters, she can transform back into like the regular human form every once in a while, and she's a lawyer.
Mm.
So, you know, whereas, you know...
Any kind of mischief you two get into the night before, she can get you guys out of...
Exactly. Very easily. Very
after,
easily.
Right.
So, you know, if you happen to be streaking in the park or something like that...
Yes, streaking
you know,
in the park
you,
with
She-Hulk.
She-Hulk.
You know, she will be able to get you off. As far as the law is concerned.
As far as the law is concerned.
However, with Wonder Woman, she's a feisty girl. You know, she is Amazonian, remember?
Yes.
You know? So it's...
Yeah, and she's got that truth lasso.
That's right. Which,
is
you know...
Lasso.
Yeah. You know, it depends on if you want to be tied up with the lasso or not. It depends
right.
what you're really going for here.
Yeah. Now, here's a question to you, though. Which one of those girls do you take home to mom?
That's a good point.
Neither
that's a very good
or
point.
Both.
Both. Absolutely.
They're both good?
Sure, why not?
Yeah,
yeah absolutely.
Right.
You know what?
Mom.
Mom, I'm sure mom would probably like Jennifer Walters as
right.
She-Hulk, you know, a little bit better, but
mom grew up in the 60s. She understands.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
Excellent.
Nice.
All right,
nice.
Chris. Well, I'm sure I'm not sure whether you really answered Stephen Carl's email.
They're
probably sitting there going, "Yeah, see, I was
yeah,
right."
Yeah, see, I was right.
Going,
yeah,
yeah, I was right. No, you weren't. I think we just made it worse for them. Thanks.
Okay, so is there but it really I just say that, you know, if you're going out with either of them, you're a winner, right? Like
Steve,
you're...
Carl, you're both winners.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay? Take $2.50 each, go buy a coffee, and maybe a Timbit.
And maybe a cold shower.
Or Stan Mikita Timbit, or whatever you got
Stan
over there in Chicago.
Stan Mikita Timbit.
And enjoy your friendship.
That was great in Wayne's World when
yeah,
they did that.
Yeah.
Stan Mikita's. They should actually open up a Stan Mikita's. I would love that.
Chicagoland is like... 10, 12 million people.
Yeah.
In the periphery of Chicago.
For sure.
That could easily support.
Absolutely. One
like
more.
100 of them.
Easily.
All right. All right, Chris. Let's keep this engine going.
Well, now we have.
Hell's Engine of our show.
Hell's Engine. That's right.
Yeah.
Well, we've got Trailer Trash is up next.
Trailer Trash.
And Trailer Trash is brought to you by. Let's go with the Niagara Falls Comic Con, June 19th at the Scotiabank Convention Center.
So first, Chris, this first rule of thumb when you send somebody to a convention.
Yes.
Get the date right.
Oh, sorry, June 9th.
Right.
Sorry, not
okay,
June 19th. Sorry,
you.
Sorry, June 9th.
It's extra important because I'm going to be set up at that.
Right, time. Right.
So I don't want a guy come attending.
Okay.
Where is everybody?
Okay, June 9th.
June 9th.
At the Scotiabank Convention Center in...
Scotiabank
Convention Center
in
Niagara Falls. In
Niagara Falls. And drop by the Big D booth, say hi to Walt.
Yeah.
And say, Walt, when are you going to get rid of that partner of yours, Owen?
Oh, that's so mean. I'm thinking about coming down to that show, by the way.
Excellent.
Yeah.
You and I can meet and greet the fans.
There you go. Perfect. We can
all
sign
right.
some autographs.
Excellent. I like it. So and come to the... what is it called again?
Scotiabank
Convention
Center.
Niagara Falls Comic Con, June 9th.
Yeah.
And meet Chris and Walt.
Excellent. All right. Good call. Good call
Chris,
there.
So, yeah, we're jumping on the net. You found these Dark Knight, the Dark TDKR.
The Dark Knight Rises.
That's what that means.
That's
right.
TDKR.
So there's images of Bane.
Yes. Batman and Catwoman.
Yes.
Yes. So,
Catwoman's looking good.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah.
I don't like the Bane thing on his head.
Now, yeah, I know. But you know what? I think they did that because they wanted him to look a little more menacing. And they didn't want to go back to the well with wearing that sort of, you know, Mexican Lucador kind of mask that he was wearing before. Because it's kind of...
I call him the Humidor mask.
I like the Humidor mask. I personally like it. But, you know, I think because of the old Batman and Robin, it was a Batman and Robin movie with George Clooney. And then Bane was in that one. It was just so terrible, right? So I think they're trying to just kind of distance themselves from that a little bit. And they're giving him this really menacing, sort of weird-looking, skeleton-like, creepy-looking mask thing that he's going to wear. And, man, I think it's going to be awesome. And, you know, I actually read a little thing about him wearing that mask. And he was asked, you know, how do you feel about wearing this mask throughout the entire movie? Because you don't get a chance to really show your face.
Yeah.
And he just said, you know what? I will do anything that Christopher Nolan asks me to do because he just loves working with that guy. So,
excellent.
Yeah. So.
Hey, I got a good side story on that.
Oh, so what's that?
I'm reading the news. I forget which site. Maybe BBC or something like that. And they're talking about George Clooney throwing a party for the president.
Barack Obama.
Barack Obama, yeah. Thank you. And I guess they're doing fundraising for the big...
The big push coming up.
Push coming up for the... What do you call that? Campaign.
Presidential election.
I'm having trouble tonight. Campaign. So they're doing fundraising and, you know, Secret Service everywhere.
Sure.
But invited to George Clooney's house were Tobey Maguire and Robert Downey Jr.
Oh, wow.
And so Clooney comes up with this to the president, to a room full of the world's most powerful people. Clooney goes, so tonight in the audience we have, tonight in my home we have Batman, Spider-Man, and Iron Man.
Wow.
Maybe tonight we can give the Secret Service a night off.
Because,
you know, the Prez was well protected.
Right, absolutely. Absolutely, yes, for sure.
I thought that was cute.
Yeah, it was great. Very good. Oh, nice little story.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. So, anyways. So, how do you think the Batman thing's going to do? Everything's going to do crap compared to the Avengers now.
I wouldn't say it's going to do crap. Hold on. Crap is like, you know, what John Carter of Mars did. John Carter from the Disney movie, that did crap, right?
Yeah,
I don't think that I don't think that Batman is going to do crap. It probably won't do as well as Avengers. I'd be really shocked if it did. You gotta remember when the previous Dark Knight Returns movie came out, it had the whole, not, you know, and I'm not trying to be mean or anything, but it had the whole Heath Ledger death surrounding it, so people were kind of interested to see what was his last performance going to be like and all that kind of stuff. So it had a little bit more of a push in that regards,
right.
As well as it being the Batman movie itself. Now this one, because of the previous movie, obviously will do very well. Mm-hmm. And there's been a good push around it. I just don't know if it's going to do it as well as the Avengers.
Okay, here's another question, because you're more the comic expert than I am.
I don't know about that. But.
What's your take on... Now, here's the thing. Okay, so... The Joker...
Yeah.
...was the last villain. Heath Ledger...
Yeah.
...the Joker. But it's the Joker. It's Robinson's The Joker from 1940.
Right, okay.
It's Cesar Romero, Jack Nicholson...
Right.
...blah, blah, blah. It's your granddad's Batman supervillain.
Sure, okay, right? I'll say that. I agree with that.
This is Bane.
Yeah.
This is the new 1990s supervillain.
Yep.
This is the young people, not even young people, but guys, say, your age, maybe even my age, and younger, in their 30s and their 20s.
Yeah.
This is their villain.
Yeah,
this
absolutely.
This is, you know, the broken bat. This
yes,
is their
that's right. That's right. That's
you know
right.
I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe that's going to translate better to the younger generation.
I completely agree, because you know what? Nightfall, which is when Batman had his back broken, that came out like
91, 90, 92.
Yeah, but I'd say like 93, 94, somewhere around there. I would think it was in like back in university days, and so you know that's almost 20 years ago, right?
Yeah.
So I think those people now. You know, Bane's been around for a long time now. Really,
right.
He's been around for a full generation.
Mm-hmm.
I think that he's going to be. I think the character is it's a solid choice. It's a more believable character than some other characters can be.
Right.
I think sometimes it's hard for people to suspend their disbelief. Now, I think it's getting easier now because of special effects and all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
But I think he's a good choice. I think it's going to do very well. And they're saying that he's going to be the the meanest Batman villain of all so far.
Right.
So, you know, we'll see how it goes. I think it's going to be a great movie. And let's not forget that Anne Hathaway is going to be playing Catwoman, who has been around. The character of Catwoman has been around for forever.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there is going to be a little bit of both give and take.
Right.
But I
like the Bane connection because that is the new, the future, the new Batman.
But some
not to say that the Joker obviously isn't part of the future too.
No.
But it's we don't want a 17th interpretation of the Joker or the Penguin.
I agree. But sometimes that can backfire because, say for example, they tried to put Venom in the last Spider-Man movie and people didn't quite get it.
Well,
right?
Hold on though. I'm gonna. I don't know what I'm gonna do. I don't know what the word is.
All right.
I'm
sure.
Interject.
Yes.
That was from what I understand, they went with the classic Sandman or whatever it was initially, and then they thought that it needed something else. And at the end, they wrote in Venom kind of as an afterthought.
Right.
From what I understand,
yeah,
I could be wrong, but which isn't the way they should have done it. They should have done it as a Venom thing right off.
I agree.
At our comic shop, Venom is, with guys under 40.
He's
way more
very
popular
for sure.
Than, even the Lizard.
Well, yeah, I mean,
Sandman,
really,
the Vulture.
Hey, and you got a good point.
All
because
the Sinister Sixes.
Sure. You got a good point. I mean, Venom has had his own series a number of times.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember ever seeing a Sandman miniseries or even a Mysterio miniseries.
Yeah, even a Goblin, really. I mean, there was a couple of Abortive Goblin.
There's a couple of Green Goblin miniseries, but really nothing very popular.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly none of the right. Like, there was a brief. Do you remember there was a comic book called Spider-Man Tangled Web?
Of course, yes.
And had all like the little one issue, two issue mini like kind of stories, and there was that probably one of the best stories I ever read regarding the Rhino. It was called Flowers for the Rhino.
I remember that. Yeah.
And you know what? If only all comic books could be like that because it was so well written and so well done.
Right.
We've completely gone off on a tangent here.
Anyway, talking
about Spider-Man villains.
All right. So anyway, check the all kinds of great trailers. Trailer Trash. All kinds of great trailers about the new Dark Knight movie, so check that out. And I found this exciting. It's kind of not trailer trash, but what it is tempting of future trailer trash.
Oh!
So Star Trek II, the new J.J. Abrams take on Star Trek,
has
finished shooting.
Oh, okay.
And it's released May 17th, 2013, which I believe comes a couple weeks after... I think they got slated for next May around Free Comic Book Day.
I think
they have Iron Man.
Probably.
So it'll be 2 weeks after the Iron Man. There'll be the Star Trek. And what the great news for Trailer Trash, of course, is that there's going to be a whole bunch of stills and trailers.
And
pictures of Spock.
All kinds of stuff.
All that kind of stuff coming up. So even though we don't have any kind of trailer news.
This is like a prequel to Trailer Trash.
This is a trailer for the trailer.
A trailer... to the trailer trash segment.
Trailer
nice.
To the trailer
I like
trash
it.
Segment.
All right.
Let's. So what are we gonna do now, Chris? We're gonna break for a musical interlude.
We are gonna break for a musical interlude.
Are we gonna go to Krantz again?
Yeah, we're gonna. It's gonna be an all Krantz, all Krantz day today. Let's go with.
You're too good to me. You know that. Right?
I know. Let's go with the master technician here. I actually have names for all these. I should tell everybody what they are once in a while. Anyway, here it is.
Thank you.
Chris, I can take another 5-10 minutes of that, but we do have stuff to talk
yeah,
about.
Yeah, we really do,
so
yeah.
Let's keep this thing moving. Great stuff from Krantz. All right, let's do industry news.
Yes.
Boy, I wish I had a sponsor for industry
news. There you go. How about this one right there?
All right.
We've already said it, but we'll say it again.
All right. Hey, you know what, Chris? Industry news is brought to you by the Niagara Comic Con. Nope, the Niagara Falls Comic Con.
Hey, you know what's great is, you know, if you can get it right and, you know, let people know where they're going. Yeah.
June 9th at the Starbucks. No. At the Scotiabank.
Stardust. Yeah. Did you say the Stardust?
At the Scotiabank. Listen, Chris, stop. Okay. Industry news is brought to you by the Niagara Falls Comic Con, June 9th at the Scotiabank Convention Center.
I was hoping it would be at the Stardust Center.
Right on.
Featuring Wayne Newton.
Yes, yeah. The Stardust. Glenn Miller and the orchestra.
All right,
so let's jump right into industry news.
Right.
And here, what the heck else would we talk about?
Well, you know, unfortunately, we weren't around last week because we had some technical difficulties, so we didn't get a chance to really talk about the Avengers movie. And wow. Okay, first of all, you know, it did amazingly well its opening weekend.
200 million. First movie ever to gross 200 million.
In North America. We're talking about North America only here.
North America only.
Then first movie to gross 200 million plus in the opening weekend. Then the second weekend grosses over 100 million. Only
first
movie to
ever
do,
to
that.
Do that.
Yeah.
Right. So this is now just the weekends. I mean, it's domestic gross just going into this weekend coming up is probably over $400 million because it was at 373 after the weekend just passed.
Yeah.
And worldwide, it's at $700 million. So
no,
it's
over a billion. Yeah, it's over a billion
and
worldwide.
Worldwide, it's 700 million.
Right, right.
And then cumulatively,
yeah,
it's over $1 billion. So this movie is making everybody a lot of money. It's making everybody happy. So let's start, Chris. Let's start.
Okay, let's start.
With talking about the movie.
Okay, first of all, yeah. I mean, so we should probably point out that there may be some spoilers in...
Spoiler alert.
...in this next little
spoiler
segment, because we're
going
to talk a little bit about the movie. If you haven't seen it and you don't want to hear anything, I ask you to go to the fridge and grab yourself a Pepsi or something
nice
like that.
Pint.
Yeah, or whatever it is you need to do,
right.
And just don't listen to
double
us for the next 2 seconds. Movie. And now, Walt, you saw it. You loved it, right?
I loved it, but I didn't love it to death.
Oh, well, that's good, because we don't want it to die.
No, but my point is it gave me what I don't know how to say this right, but it gave me what I wanted, but I didn't get what I needed.
Oh, okay. So
I don't know exactly.
I know what you're talking about, because I know last week when we were having technical difficulties, we did talk a little bit about the movie.
Right.
And you were saying that you were a little bit disappointed in the fact that there was not enough dialogue.
Not enough depth.
Yeah.
Not enough depth
to the characters.
Not enough. I know that if somebody has told me, I've argued with them about this too. You know, they've developed a character in Iron Man. They've developed a character in the Thor movie.
Yeah.
They've developed. No, but I meant the, you know, my favorite scene was the scene in on the helicarrier where they're all in the lab and
right.
Loki is locked up and they're all kind of arguing and like it was a serious dialogue. It was a lot of effort put into the writing
and great
execution by the actors into that dialogue. I wanted a little bit more of that. Yeah, the comic book fight scenes were great.
Yeah,
you know, and then, you know. Part and parcel to what you and I were talking about earlier about why AVX is doing well.
For sure, yeah.
You know, it's just fight scenes, right?
Yeah.
And the reason why the Avengers people are loving it, it's a lot of fight scenes and stuff like that, which is great, but I don't know. I kind of wanted maybe more soliloquies, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, because that's what comic books need. More soliloquies. What is it? It's not Shakespeare.
I don't
forsooth. Well, I mean, I suppose Thor should be saying
Thor
that.
Thor should say a couple of them. Yeah, Shakespeare in the Park. I think that was one line.
Yeah,
in the movie. But I don't know. Like the disappointing one for me. The only really kind of disappointing one for me was their use of Nick Fury.
Right, right.
That missed for me. I thought Hulk was bang on. They
yep.
couldn't have done a better job.
No, I completely agree. Yeah.
Iron Man was great.
Yep. Yep.
Great.
Yep.
Pepper Potts was awesome. She
yep.
was just
She's
in just the
barely
right
in
amount.
It, but
yeah.
you know, yeah.
Black Widow was great.
Yep. I agree.
Don't get me wrong. Like just it's Fury. Fury somehow wasn't pulling enough strings. He
right.
wasn't masterminding. There wasn't any kind of sub behind the scenes plot.
I think he was in it just enough. personally. No, yeah, okay, I think well, he was in it just enough. I think because, you know, although, because really you could say that about every character in that. There wasn't enough. If there was a particular character you liked.
No, I could not say that about every
character. Sure, you could.
I can say that about Nick Fury.
Now, I think there are a lot of people that could say that, you know, there's not enough Iron Man in the movie or not enough Thor in the movie. Because every character had its own little bit, and I think Nick Fury had just enough in pulling everything together. There were those scenes with where he was talking to his people, right? You know, where the people that are behind the scenes kind of thing.
Enough. Okay, listen, I'm not going to argue the fact. It was a great movie. I was highly entertained.
Yes, good, good.
I didn't like wearing the glasses, though.
You know, you don't have to see it in 3D.
No?
There are theaters around there.
The screen you're at is a 3D screen.
Well, then you have to wear the glasses. Yeah. But there are screens that don't have 3D.
Okay.
So you don't
so
have
to see
it.
So when it comes on the DVD at home and stuff like that, I can see it.
Absolutely. Well, you can go right now and see it in Silver City.
How much money that costs to go see that, though?
I'm just saying, you didn't have to see it in 3D, but I know you got a free pass to it, so, you know, of course, yeah. So, you know, heaven forbid you should turn that down. Yeah.
Right. The problem is, the second time I go, I won't get one.
No,
right?
You really won't. You really won't. You're going to go a second time? Probably
no,
not. No.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm gonna go a second time.
Mm.
I loved the movie. I thought it was great. Thanks for asking. I thought it was really well done.
I was getting to you. You asked me first. Hold on, Chris. Hey, hold on. Hold on. Hey, how did you like?
Oh,
it?
I thought it was great. Thanks for asking, Walt. Yeah, it was great. I really enjoyed it. In fact, I wanted to see it again as soon as it was finished. I wanted to stay for a second screening as soon as it was done. I loved it. I thought it was great. Yeah. That was very well written. I thought whoever wrote the movie and knew really had a good handle for each of the characters.
Yeah.
You know, that's what
the
I really
interaction
liked
was great. It was seamless at times.
Yeah.
And stuff. And the fight scenes were amazing.
Absolutely phenomenal.
Now, let's talk about this a little bit. What does this mean for comic books? What does this mean for comic book movies? What does this mean for your local comic book shops?
You know, it's a great question.
Yeah.
I think that it's going to, obviously it's going to enhance the comic book industry in general. Because I've talked to people that, you know, really they weren't even aware of who the Avengers were before, and now they want to go out and they want to read the Avengers comics. They want to know more about them. You know, even just little things like I'm not going to spoil it, but there's a cameo at the end of the movie, and everybody's been asking me who is that person, who is that character, and you know I've been telling them who it is, and then you know they say, well, where's he from? And I suggested, well, you got to read such and such. You have to read such and such.
Spoiler alert. Okay, we're going to announce the character.
We are? You sure we want to do that?
We do.
Oh.
Because I want to talk a little bit about the effect of these movies have on the back issue market.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So in like 4 seconds, I'm going to say the character that's in the credits.
Okay.
And that, of course, is Thanos.
Thanos, yes.
Thanos, who's a villain in the cosmic Marvel universe.
Yes.
Out deep space.
Yeah.
And Thanos first appeared in Iron Man number 55.
Yes.
From about 1973.
Okay, that's about right, yeah.
And I did a little blog on Comic Book Daily about last week or so, about Iron Man 55 selling on the comic auction sites.
Right.
And stuff like that. So, you know, graded copies, 9.4 out of 10 in these encapsulated grades.
Yeah.
We're getting, let's say, $400 or $500. The week of after the movie opened,
yeah,
the same book was getting like $800.
Yeah, that's crazy.
9.6 copies were getting 8 before.
Yeah,
they were getting $1,500.
Yeah, that's
just
insane.
4 seconds of screen time.
Yeah.
Of this character.
Yeah,
went the back issue market for that one book with his first appearance went absolutely ballistic. Went off
I'm sure it did. I'm
it
sure
just
it
went
did.
Crazy.
Yeah, yeah
just,
for sure.
You know the power of the success of that movie. I think Avengers will be good for the comic industry. I think the comic book superhero genre movie thing had plateaued and was beginning to stagnate a bit. You saw it with the Spider-Man franchise.
Right, with X-Men.
Yeah. They had the reboot. You saw it, like, with Superman, definitely with Superman.
Yeah, yeah.
The Ghost Rider. Like, they were, you know, in the beginning, everything was hitting, right?
Right,
There were some duds lately.
Yeah.
And some stuff that underperformed,
well,
but they weren't duds. What this did is, like, saying, oh, no, this genre... This
still
idea
alive.
Isn't done. It's
no.
just more than alive. It's
yeah.
it's the best thing ever.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's what Avengers did, and that's going to revitalize. The problem with success like this stupidity will reign its head again in Hollywood.
Oh, of course.
And they're
going
to have, like, you know, the West Coast Avengers.
Well, yeah, exactly. They're going to have the Great Lakes Avengers,
yeah,
the West
Lakes
Coast
Avengers.
Avengers.
They're going to have all kinds of weird
absolutely
things. Any kind of team.
Yeah, you know? For sure. Not, but not only that, they're going to have other studios that don't already have properties are going to start looking towards comics and start buying up properties and say, well, if it's a comic book, it's going to make money now, right? Which
exactly.
That's not the
right.
case.
Which was the case, say, 8-9 years ago after that first Spider-Man movie.
Right.
It's almost kind of like a gold rush after that very first Spider-Man movie that broke the first weekend record.
Yeah, yeah.
They go, wow, these superhero movies are awesome.
Yeah, and they can make an Elektra movie that'll tank,
yeah.
right? Because, you know, it doesn't matter anymore,
right?
Right, yeah.
right.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, well, even recently, like, you know, there has been a lot of success with the Marvel movies recently. I mean, of course, there's the Captain America and the Thor and the two Iron Man movies and the Hulk.
Yeah.
But in between all that, you know, even though, and I'm not saying that DC's not getting it, but DC did, you know, obviously Batman recently, the Dark Knight. But, you know, they also did Jonah Hex,
yeah.
which did not do very well at all. And you'd
exactly.
think that, you know, with the resurgence of these, you know, great Marvel and great DC movies, that, you know, a good long-standing character would do okay like that. But you know what? If they don't get it, they don't get it.
Right. Here's my tip for future wealth. Run out, collectors, and look for the comics Tales to Astonish, number 27, Tales to Astonish, number 35, and Tales to Astonish, number 44. The reason being is 27 and 35 are the first appearances of Ant-Man.
Yep.
27, he's not in costume. 35, he makes an appearance like as a superhero
right,
in costume.
Right. Yeah.
And 44 is the first appearance of the Wasp.
Yes.
And I believe those characters will most likely be in the next Avengers movie.
They may or they may not. I mean, the Ant-Man character, I'm not saying you're wrong,
mm-hmm.
but the Ant-Man character has already been optioned as its own separate movie.
Right, but that'll go to production before the Avengers movie.
Right, but I'm just saying he might not actually be in the Avengers movie. That's all I'm saying.
I say he's going to be in the Avengers.
I don't know. That's all I'm saying.
Anyway, go check the Avengers out. It's a great movie.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well,
Chris, you talked about Jonah Hex.
Yeah.
And sad news.
Sad news. Yeah.
The world of comics.
Tony DeZuniga.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm saying that right.
Yep.
Co-creator of Jonah Hex passed away at the age of 79, and he was the first Filipino artist to crack the American market. I did not know that he was Filipino.
Yeah, you know what? I read some of the other Filipino ones that followed him. And you know who I didn't know was Filipino too?
Who's that?
It was Ernie Chan.
Oh, yeah, I didn't
like
know
Ernie
that
Chan,
either.
Chan,
Chinese sure.
name.
Yeah, yeah,
right?
I didn't know that either.
And I thought he was American.
Yeah, me too.
I thought he was an American.
I did not know that.
But Ernie Chan is also busted in from the Filipino market. And in the 70s, when a lot of Filipino...
A
lot of them did those great... A lot of work for DC. Some of the war titles like Our Army at War, Our Fighting Forces.
Or even,
like
you know what? I remember seeing a lot of their artwork in like the Marvel magazines, like Savage Sword of Conan, like Rudy Nebrez.
Well,
you know, Ernie Chan, you know, those guys did a lot of work. But
well, sad to see anyway. Like,
yes.
Unfortunately, comics being a medium that's 70, 80 years old, we're a lot of the earlier, not that he's an early pioneer, but a lot of the earlier pioneers from the Golden Age, Silver Age are getting to the point now where they're elderly.
Sadly.
Every now and then one of them has to pass. So
that's right.
Sad to see Mr. D.
Zuniga
go. Jonah Hex, another great comic, though, another great creation.
Yep.
And a comic that has been resilient from my perspective as a back issue comic type dealer, All Star Western number 10, the first appearance of Jonah Hex, still holds great value.
Yeah, yeah.
A crap movie couldn't, you know, make it not.
No, right. Well, he's still a solid character.
Right.
And now you found this one here, Walt. Interesting story about Batman number 1 selling for $850,000. What's up with that?
Now here's something that's interesting. I wrote this down because I wanted your opinion, Chris.
Oh,
okay,
all right.
So Batman number 1, 9.2 copy, the nicest copy.
Right.
9.2 out of 10 graded.
Right.
Got $850,000. Close to a million. Only three comic books have ever sold for a million. One has sold three times for a million.
Right.
Which was Action number 1.
Yep.
Three different copies,
yeah.
The nicest copy of the first Spider-Man sold for a million, and Batman, first copy has sold for a million.
Right.
Now, here's my question. Batman number 1 is not the first appearance of Batman.
Not even close, no.
Right. It's like a year later, maybe 13th appearance or something like that. It coincides roughly with Detective number 38 when Robin was introduced.
Right, yes.
Should it be worth that much money? Like what I'm saying, Spider-Man number one has the same problem. The character was introduced in a number ones are deceptive.
Yeah.
Now, people think number one, oh, it's a number one.
Right.
But it's not his first appearance. It's not that important a comic book historically.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right.
It's the second Batman title.
Yep.
Next to Detective.
You're right. Yep. It's not quite the same, but it's almost like saying Superman number one should be selling for $850,000 as well, which would be ridiculous, right?
But it's not some comics are easy, like Captain America number one.
Yes,
is the first appearance of Captain America.
Right, Fantastic Four number one
is the first appearance of Fantastic Four. Hulk number one is the first appearance of Hulk. No, X-Men number one is first appearance of X-Men.
Right,
those are easy.
Yeah, but then you get into like say Journey into Mystery, Thor.
No, Journey into Mystery 83. Okay, that's a different one because it's not a number one.
Right, that's Journey what I'm saying. Yeah,
but here's another one.
Okay,
you're right. Tales of Suspense 39 is the first appearance of Iron Man.
Right.
4 years later, they come up with Iron Man number one.
Right, right.
And
but it's not the first appearance of number
one. But it's not the first appearance.
Yeah.
But I honestly don't think that Batman number one should be worth that much money.
I agree with you. However, yeah.
But Batman number one has something that a lot of the other, say, Spider-Man number one doesn't have.
Yeah.
Spider-Man number one had the chameleon.
Right.
It had a crossover from the Fantastic Four.
Right, it did,
what Batman number one gave the comic book world was the Catwoman and the Joker.
Yes.
Two of the most
recognizable
characters. So on its own, Batman delivers very important historical characters.
Absolutely, right? Yes.
So if it was just like, I don't know, Batman, the first Alfred was in Batman.
Right, right. Well, no one
would
care.
It might not be his thing. But I think the Batman...
I think
the Joker and the Catwoman are carrying the day.
Absolutely, with this. Yeah, because it's not going to sell for... Because Superman number one is never going to sell for as much as Batman number one because it doesn't have the first appearances of the characters like Batman number one does, right? Yep. So I think that's where it has the quality in order to command those prices.
Yeah. So anyway, if you're listening and you have a cool $800,000-$900,000 to throw around, you know what? Go to the Detective Comics number 27 first, and then if you can't get that, go to the Batman number one.
Absolutely. All right. Let's keep on. We'll have one more story here, then we'll have a musical interlude.
Another
article here.
Never-ending story.
Okay, this is interesting. Now, this is something that we're going to talk about for a minute here. Mm-hmm. So now, are you familiar with Roy Lichtenstein?
Yes.
Okay.
The pop art.
Yeah,
the 60s.
So basically, for those of you who are listening who aren't really all that familiar with his work, he is a fine artist, some might say a pop artist, who takes panels from comic books and reproduces them on a much bigger scale. So you can actually see all the little pixelated parts and everything.
Right.
Basically says now it's art, right? So he just takes full panels like...
Sort of like what Andy Warhol does to a Campbell's soup can.
Yeah, he just reproduces it and says now it's artwork,
now it's artwork
right?
Work,
yeah,
right.
So Lichtenstein recently had one of the pieces of artwork that he did recently sold for $45 million. The Sleeping Girl. So
just a one panel picture of a girl sleeping.
Yeah, and it's not even like it's from like 1800s or 1700s. Yeah. This is from 1964.
Right.
Not even 40 years ago, and it's selling for $45 million. Sorry, 50 years ago.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm not very good at math.
$45 million,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Craziness. So, now here's the thing, though.
Here's the thing.
I don't get it. I don't get Roy Lichtenstein.
Mm-hmm.
All he's doing is taking a panel from a comic book and reproducing it on big page.
Chris.
I don't get it.
Tony Abruzzo, the original artist, got it wrong. He had a half-decent premise. But what Roy has done is he's brought out the nuances and he's elevated it to a higher art form.
That's a bunch of BS and you know it. He has done nothing but reproduced it. And reproduced one single panel onto a big canvas and called it art.
Wow.
I've never liked Roy Lichtenstein. I always thought he was a cop-out. Now, here's the thing. Now, people say to me, well,
you know, Chris, I wish you'd have an opinion on this. You got to get off the fence. You got to take one side or the other on this.
You know what? I don't, you know what? People say to me, well, he was the first one to do it, and therefore it's art.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get that either. There's a lot of people like, okay, so does that mean like, you know, a piece of you know, I don't know, surrealism?
Mm-hmm.
The guy that did it after Salvador Dali, you know, right. His artwork wasn't very good. Salvador Dali's was good, but the guy that did it second wasn't as good. So
yeah.
does this mean that I can go ahead and take a panel and reproduce it and say, oh, it's art. I'm just the second guy that ever did it.
Listen, why don't you do it? We'll show everybody next week on the show what it looks like.
We'll show everybody on a radio show?
Right.
Sure.
And,
all right.
We'll say that. But listen, it's to me, Chris, to me, it's a testament to the allure
of
comic book art.
Well,
right.
I think it's a bunch of BS, if you ask me.
Alrighty.
I've never liked the Roy Lichtenstein style of artwork. I think it's a cop out. Really.
Right, so for the fans that do like Roy, Tate Britain will have a major retrospective on Lichtenstein's work. In the spring of 2013.
Yeah, that's
so save your air miles.
That's the Tate Gallery, yeah.
Yes.
The Tate Gallery in England, yeah.
In England. And so save your air miles and head out. Perhaps this was my thing on how to make money.
Okay.
What you do is, because it was at Sotheby's, right? What you do is you go out and you buy Tony Abruzzo's page.
Right.
That the sleeping girl was in. And you pay $8,000 for it at a con or $6,000.
Sure.
And then the next time they do a Lichtenstein Sotheby's auction,
yeah,
you send that in.
Oh, I like that.
To have it auctioned right next to
sure,
it.
Sure, absolutely.
Right.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
There you go.
Very good idea. All right, well, let's keep on going with some more Spider-Man music. And this one is, of course, an oldie but a goodie, the original Spider-Man theme.
Love that tune, Chris. Love it. Never grows old.
It really doesn't. It really doesn't.
Grows old.
You know,
I
think one of my favorite parts about that song is the very beginning.
Yeah, where it comes in
and then
it comes in again.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
I love it.
Love it. Chris, speaking of loving it, so I'm reading this thing. There's a link to a Variety article on one of these websites, and I found this very interesting. So Avengers. It's a real big movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Get out of
town. And Avengers 2, they're figuring we'll make more money than, you know, the country of, I don't know, Serbia. I can't say any other one because some people make fun of me for ridiculing countries.
Right, but you're seeing as you are
yeah,
Serbian,
right.
So.
Makes in a decade.
Right.
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 So. What I found interesting, though, is...
Maybe they should make a movie like that. They could increase their profits.
Yeah, hey, maybe they could have it filmed there. Listen, so out of all the principal actors that were signed, that should be appearing in Iron Man 2...
Right.
What's it called?
Avengers 2,
2,
yeah.
Thank you. You're talking about the Hawkeye, we're talking about Black Widow,
yep,
we're talking about
yep.
Iron Man, we're talking about
Thor, Hulk.
Captain America, Hulk. The one actor that doesn't have a contract, a current contract, out to that movie,
right,
is Robert Downey Jr.
Oh,
and now get me if I'm wrong.
Okay,
or
get you if you're wrong.
Yeah.
I'll bring you back.
Would you consider that Robert Downey Jr. was the anchor actor for Avengers?
Yeah,
everything kind of revolved around him.
I do have to say that I agree. I mean, he really is. He's the, you know, I think because. His original Iron Man movie kind of is the one that kind of launched the Marvel movies and
yeah.
kind of got people interested again in Marvel and in the movies. I will definitely say that he is sort of the anchor for the Avengers.
Right.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So his four picture contract takes him out to Iron Man 3.
Right.
Which comes out next year. Then the year after they want to do the Avengers, but he is not signed.
Oh.
This puts Robert Downey Jr. in a very strong position.
Absolutely,
in terms
yeah.
of Disney. Now my question was, what if, like, you know, these actors are kind of flaky. Like
they can be, yeah. Yeah.
What if he says, you know, I shan't be doing another Avengers. I should be doing Chaucer at Stratford. Right?
Yeah.
You know, what if he just pulls one of those?
He might. Right? You never know.
Broadway is calling. The West
yes.
End is calling.
I don't know if.
Tip. I'm going to be playing Pip from Great Expectations on an 8-week run.
Pip from Great. I think you're mixing up a few movies.
No, I think it's Pip.
Is it? All right. All right. Fair enough. Okay.
Anyway, so, you know.
He
maybe,
could. He
yeah.
could. He could very well say that, and or maybe decide that he no longer wants to be Iron Man ever again because,
yeah.
you know, oh, that old thing.
Yeah,
you know,
that people think I'm Iron Man on the streets.
Yeah, that's,
I'd rather do, what's the other one he was doing there? Sherlock.
Sherlock Holmes, yeah.
Sherlock
yeah.
Hanlock.
Yeah.
Sherlock, yeah. So double question is.
Yes, double question.
How much does Disney pay him? And if he says no, who do they get? I know that's a hard question.
Oh, that's a tough question. How much do they pay him? Whatever he wants,
exactly.
I would say.
Yeah.
Because you know what? I don't even know what actors are getting. You know, remember years ago they would say, oh, well, this actor's making this, this actor's
yeah.
making that. They never really report that anymore.
What if they pay him $60 million? And what if there's that locker room animosity? You know, like in a
yeah, there
club.
Might be.
In the ball club where they,
yeah.
you know, you're making $18,000 a year and
yeah.
buddy besides is making $18 million, you know?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
And,
you never know. Well, I mean, I'd have to say that, you know, I mean, obviously you can't get to be ridiculous. They can't pay him like $200 million or something ridiculous like that.
Right.
However, you know, if they can't get him, who do they get to play him? Oh, geez, that's a great question. I can't, you know, he's like...
I like that kid, Joel Gerard.
I like that Joel Gerard kid. You know, it's hard to say because, you know what, it's like saying, who do you get to replace the original Christopher Reeve in the Superman movies? Like, I can't.
Right.
Who do you get to
right.
replace Linda Carter from Wonder Woman?
Yeah.
It's, you know, you
yeah.
only see them as those people now, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to say who else who could also be.
Right.
You know, I hate to say it, but I think some of the other actors are replaceable.
Yes.
You know, I think.
Well, listen, the third actor that played Hulk.
He was great.
It was great.
Yeah,
and I
did a great job.
Kind of bat an eye, really.
Nope, I agree.
I don't think they can pull it off without Robert Downey.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with you on this one.
And I hope Mr. Downey, as an actor and as a businessman and as a fan, understands that he's needed in Iron Man 2.
The one thing I will say about these movies, that it looks like these guys are having a good time because you know what? If they look like they want to be there, they look like they're having fun with it. So hopefully, having said that, maybe they just won't. Maybe Iron Man will say, or Iron Man, maybe Robert Downey Jr. will say, "Hey, you know what? Sure, I'll come back for one more movie, or
sure,
I'll come back for two
I'll
more
do
movies.
It for
sure,
free.
Why not? Right?
Why not?
Well, I don't know if you do it for free, but certainly, I think you know, with the success of these movies, he will definitely do it.
Great, great, great news, Chris. Rest assured. Mr. Owen has said that Downey is in for Avengers 2.
Oh, here we go.
So take that to the bank.
I never said that.
Listen, Chris, I know we're out of time.
Yeah.
We didn't get a chance to talk about Free Comic Book Day.
No, unfortunately, we did not.
I personally wanted to thank everybody that visited Big B.
Yeah, yeah. You had a good day at Big B
yeah,
here?
It was a lot of fun, a lot of people. And from what I'm hearing from all the shops all across Canada, everybody was... you know, most people ran out of hot dogs. Most
yeah.
people even ran out of comics.
Right, right.
It was that well attended.
Good,
good. This year. So thanks to everybody that helped at our shop. And thanks to all the shops that went the extra mile for Free Comic Book Day this year. You
yeah.
know, from what, like I said, the reports are glowing. And that just doesn't come by itself. That comes with tremendous amount of work and effort from people that have shops and the people that work at the shops. They're all out there. Promoting the event
yep,
at the
absolutely.
Local level, and they're all doing obviously a bang up job. Free Comic Book Day was a smashing success.
Smashing success. And one last thing I will say, I know just to end on this, is apparently TCAF was also a smashing success.
I heard that.
Toronto Comic Arts Festival was 2 weekends ago, and apparently did very, very well. In fact, I heard some of the guests were overly friendly. Guys like Brian Lee O'Malley apparently did a great job. People coming back, he would recognize people back in the line and say, hey, you know what, I know you didn't get a chance to get my autograph, come on back over, you know, that kind of thing. So apparently did a great job. Wonderful time was had by all.
Excellent.
Sadly, Walt, that is all the time that we have for today.
All right, Comic Culture, produced by Anthony Falcone, engineered by Andrew Roebuck. For comments and suggestions, please visit comicbookdaily.com. Click on the podcast link, scroll down to the comments field, add your comments, please. You can hear us at comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com.
Yes, and remember, there are two kinds of spurs. Those that come through the door and those that come through the window.
What kinds of spurs?
I don't know what that means.
Neither do I.
Oh, spurs.
Right. Oh, spurs, right. Anyway, have a great week. We'll see you next week. Visit your local comic book shop.
Have yourself a great day.